This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This afternoon, we do not have a guest invocator, but we will take a moment along with our moment of silence as an extra point of reflection for all faiths and beliefs. Council members, any in memoriams? Council Member Wyatt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to take a moment because I know yesterday was Memorial Day and we were not in session. But I did want to take a moment because, you know, our country is under siege right now. And the very freedoms that we fought for are under siege and under question. And so I do want to thank all those who sacrifice for the freedoms that we currently exist on this day, even though it's the day after Memorial Day, but it's the day that we're in session. And I think it would be wonderful for us to recognize those people during our session, that we are able to live under democracy, to continue to stand up for justice, even though it may not be happening at the White House. We do on that every single day. So thank you for allowing me to take the honor to remember those who fought for us to have the very freedoms that we currently have. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember. Seeing no one else, so we'll take an extra moment of reflection for all faiths and beliefs. And as Councilmember Wyatt had said, we want to remember all of our first responders and men and women of the armed services and those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Please join me in a moment of silence. We do not have any special presentations either. So on a motion by Majority Leader Halton Pope, seconded by Councilwoman Everhart, the minutes of the stated meeting held on May 13th, 2025 were approved. Council members, you have the late files before you. Are there any objections to the late files? Seeing none, we'll hear the agenda in its entirety. That does not take away your right to pause the meeting if you haven't had a chance to review the late files.
Mr. Chair? Just want to ask a point of order. If I have amendments to the budget and they're going to be late files, or I'm going to not announce it on the floor. Should I do that in writing, or can I just speak it verbally?
I would say we need them in writing, so council members would have the opportunity to review them.
Okay. I'll have that for you.
Thank you.
Item number one, Big Heart Pet Brands, 180, 184, 194, Fugeron. Motion is in the legislation.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Item number two, Poland Location Lease Agreement.
Motion to approve items two and three.
Seconded by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number four, Cash Flow Report for April 2025.
Motion to send to finance.
Seconded by Councilmember Rivera.
Item number five, Certificate of Necessity.
Motion to receive and file.
Seconded by Councilmember Golombek.
Item number six, Comptroller Third Quarter Gap Response for Fiscal 2024-2025.
Motion to send to finance.
Seconded by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Item number seven, Interfund Loan Request.
Motion to approve.
Seconded by Councilmember Wyatt.
Item number eight, Certificate of Appointment.
Motion to send items eight and nine to Civil Service.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Item number 10, Notification Serial.
Motion to receive and file.
Seconded by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 11, change order for Buffalo Zoo.
Motion to approve items 11 through and including 38.
Seconded by Councilmember Rivera.
Item number 39, notice of appointment for park utility worker.
Motion to send to Civil Service.
Seconded by Councilmember Golombek.
Item number 40, approval to renew fire and range contract.
Motion to approve.
Seconded by Councilmember Golombek.
Item number 41, certificate of appointment, police lieutenant.
Motion to send to Civil Service.
Seconded by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Corporation Council, item number 42, James and Earl Kistner.
Motion to send items 42 through and including 51 to the Claims Committee.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Permits and inspections, item number 52, contract with City of Buffalo and Empire Dismantle Demolition.
Motion to send to legislation.
Seconded by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 53, contract with City of Buffalo and Get Her Done of Western New York.
Motion to approve.
Seconded by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 54, food store license, 671 Fillmore.
Motion to send items 54 and 55 to legislation.
Seconded by Councilmember Rivera.
Item number 56, mobile food truck.
Motion to approve items 56 and 57.
Seconded by Councilmember Golombek.
Item number 58, property manager.
Motion to send items 58 through and including 67 to the Legislation Committee.
Seconded by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Item number 68, permission to enter into agreement.
Motion to revisit item number 67.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Motion to resend the previous motion. I think I accidentally included 68 in that number in the original. So the motion is to send to legislation.
Seconded by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 68, permission to enter into agreement.
Motion to approve.
Seconded by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 69, items returned to city clerk by a mayor without approval or disapproval.
Motion to receive and file items 69 through and including 72.
Seconded by Councilmember Rivera.
Item number 73, notice of appointment, bridge operating engineer.
Motion to send items 73 through 75 to Civil Service.
Seconded by Councilmember Golombek.
Miscellaneous, item number 76, letter regarding GIA funding proposal for 2024-2025 and year 2025-2026.
Motion to send items 76 and 77 to Finance Committee.
Seconded by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Item number 78, opposition to cannabis establishment at 758 Elmwood.
Motion to send to legislation.
Seconded by Councilmember Wyatt.
Petitions, item number 79, zoning map amendment, 1280 East Ferry.
Motion to send items 79 through and including 81 to legislation and city planning board.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Submission list, civil service, item number one, certificate of appointment.
Motion to approve items one through including seven.
Seconded by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Item number eight, notice of appointment, truck driver.
Motion to receive and file eight and nine.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Item number 10, position allocation maintenance.
Motion to approve.
Seconded by Councilmember Rivera.
Finance, item number 11, amendment to current and prior year annual action plans and amendment to Bureau sub-recipient agreement.
Motion is to approve 11 and 12.
Second by Councilwoman Everhart.
Community Development, item number 13, request to rescind council approval for 505 Pearl Street.
Motion to approve.
Second by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Item number 14, concerns proposed police training facility.
Motion to receive and file items 14, 15, and 16.
Second by Councilmember Wyatt.
Legislation, item number 17, Foodster License, 2619 Bailey.
Motion to approve items 17 through 22 with conditions on 17 and 18.
Second by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Item number 23, additional information for PUD for 407 and 409 William.
Motion to recommit.
Second by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 24, planned unit development for 160 Kearns.
Motion to deny.
Seconded by Councilmember Rivera, and those denial reasons have been submitted to the clerk, law department, and commissioner inspections.
Item number 25, planned unit development for 407 and 409 William.
Motion to recommit.
Seconded by Councilmember Glumbeck.
Item number 26, special use 846 Main.
Motion to approve items 26 and 27.
Seconded by Councilmember Wyatt.
Item number 28, property manager.
Motion to deny.
Seconded by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 29, property manager.
Motion to approve 29 and 30.
Seconded by Councilmember Rivera.
Item number 31, special use 178 Sumner.
Motion to recommit 31 and 32.
Seconded by Councilmember Glumbeck.
Item number 33, special use 703 Linwood.
Motion to approve.
Seconded by Councilmember Wyatt.
Item number 34, lodging house license 1323 Seneca Street.
Motion to deny.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski, and that has also had the denial reasons sent to law clerk and inspections permits.
Item number 35, planning board seeker NAGDAC for 172 Goodell.
Motion to receive and file items 35 through 37.
Second by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 38, zoning map amendment for 172 Goodell.
Motion to approve.
Second by Councilmember Rivera.
Resolutions, item number 82, request for trailblazing sign for Shekinah Griffin.
Motion to approve items 82 through and including 88.
Seconded by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Item number 89, discharge item 25-616 and 25-615 from Committee of the Whole.
Motion to adopt.
Second by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Item number 90, fee waiver fund days at JFK Park.
Motion to approve items 90 and 91.
Second by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 92, request and comment council representation on the City of Buffalo Parking Authority.
Motion to adopt.
Seconded by Councilmember Glumbeck.
Item number 93, resolution calling for a comprehensive review of the City of Buffalo's municipal.
Motion to send to finance.
Second by Councilmember Wyatt.
Item number 94, establishing property tax circuit breaker program to protect low income.
Motion to adopt and send the remainder to finance.
Second by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Item number 95, budget and personnel amendment for audit and control.
Motion to approve items 95 through 99.
Seconded by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 100, Commissioner of Deeds, Public Duties.
Motion to adopt.
Seconded by Councilmember Glumbeck.
Committee of the Whole, item number 101, Mayor's four-year financial plan.
Motion to receive and file.
Seconded by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Item number 102, Mayor's recommended budget, 2025-2026.
Motion to open for discussion.
The seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski, and this item is open. This is the item on the mayor's recommended 2025-26 budget. Colleagues, Councilmember Wyatt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I also would like to provide a amendment to cut the overtime for police, civilian, and fire overtime from $10,750,000 to $5,375,000 for police, and that's account number 12005001. Overtime civilian 12024001 from $2 million to $1 million. And for fire overtime, account number 12132001 from $7,550,000 to $3,775,000. Sir, I ask for these amendments because I see that we've done some things but it's not enough. We're at this table again, as I spoke last year and said that we needed deep cuts. We didn't do it. And here we are again, asking for deep cuts, and we're not going to do it. The number that I've always complained about, and just for some folks who think that I've just did this because I'm running for office, is not the truth. Many of you know I've always spoke regarding the overtime for police and fire is unsustainable. And I really never looked at it as deeply as I did this time. When I look at the salaries for police and fire, if the public knew the salaries for police and fire compared to the average salary for our ordinary Buffalonian, they would, I think we'd all be out of office. $31,000 for the average Buffalonian, but you have fire captains or police captains who are making $124,000. You have fire folks who are making over $100,000, and that's not even including the overtime. And so the recommendation that I made, I think, is very practical. It's unsustainable for the city to continue to pay this amount of overtime and think that we're going to get ourselves out of the fiscal crisis that we're in. It just can't happen. Selling the parking ramp that the controller has said generated $7 million in revenue, we're going to sell that for a one-time hit. I don't know how that benefits us. A bed tax that, again, we don't know the exact number, but we're giving some estimation. But you know the city has given us a whole lot of estimations in the past, and they haven't worked. So we're going to do this again. Now we're looking at charging a fee to the venues that invite residents from out of the area. I know we tried this a couple of years ago. There was no conversation with those venues, so they pushed back. But I guess this is going to happen this time. I don't know, maybe magically. But we've heard a lot about the lack of activity downtown. So we're going to put a venue fee along with a bed tax, along with increased parking rates. I'm just trying to understand how that's going to square. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one in the room that kind of gets this, or maybe I'm not. I don't know. But it just doesn't square. And again, we're refusing to make the deep cuts. We continue to raise taxes. We had increases last year, user fee, water, as well as a reassessment. And we continue to put the burden on the taxpayer. These other things, these little tricks that we've done in the past and have not worked, and we continue to do the same things, like it's going to change. It's not going to change. It's going to be the same old stuff. And I pray that we don't have another emergency. Because right now we're paying this excessive amount of overtime, and it's not even needed. The work product that we've seen for police and fire, it's minimal. There's no overtime dollars that are necessary, but we continue to pay it because we are told, and I think the leadership told me, that it would cause a problem if we cut the overtime. But we've increased the number of firefighters, we've increased the number of police, but still we have to get overtime? Again, it doesn't square with me. And it's unfortunate, again, that we continue to take care of the taxpayer. No, excuse me, we're not taking care of the taxpayer. We're adding additional burden on the taxpayer. I want to make sure I'm not beyond my 5 minutes, but I do want to say I will be voting no again on this budget because it's, again, the same tricks that we've done in the past that hasn't worked. And we're going to do it again, thinking we're going to get something different. We're not going to get something different. We're going to get the same burdens on the taxpayer. Hopefully at some point, maybe they'll revolt, and they should, because we're the third poorest of our size, but we've made no changes to change that. We just continue to say, we're going to charge you more taxes, but we're going to take away one of your fees or one of the big garbage days. That's going to go over pretty well. When we talked about changing and going from every week recycling to every other week, I don't know how you increase taxes in one area and say we're going to take away something. And although I agree possibly that that's something we may should look into, but not on the back of saying we're going to increase taxes and taking it away. I just don't believe it squares. And it's unfortunate that, again, we will continue to do the same things we've done that have gotten us nowhere. and the taxpayer will continue to have the burden. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I will be voting in a negative. I just want to make that clear. Thank you.
Thank you. And just for procedural reasons, is this being entered into a late filer? All the colleagues have seen the proposal that you had submitted, so I just want to make sure procedurally, are you asking to have this as a late file, the amendment?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So then at that point, this item would require a second to be considered for a roll call vote. So Council Member Rivera would like to second the item.
If I can speak.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, this is, I think, the 16th budget that I voted on. And the first number of budgets were good years because we had a reserve fund. And we were using up that money instead of raising the taxes, both the commercial and the residential taxes. Once we spent down all that money, then the American Rescue Plan came in, and we used up all of that money. And now we find ourselves with, you know, $70 million budget deficit. The problem we have here is a structural deficit. It is persistent. It just didn't happen this year. It's been happening year after year after year. And I want to state on the record that I find myself as one of the council members responsible for that because we voted on the budget. Although the mayor proposed the budget, we actually, us council members, voted on. So we can't just point a finger at the previous administration and say, he did it. No, he proposed the budget, but we voted on those budgets that he proposed. So we are equally responsible for the mess that we're in today. Today we're voting on a budget that continues that relies on things that aren't fixed. It is a consistent problem between our revenue, our spending, and our revenue. Our revenues are here, our taxes and everything else we have is over here. And this continues to grow. Our spending continues to grow. And it continues to grow in this budget as well. We asked all along, let's cut spending. That's the only thing we have control over. We can't control the revenue. We can't tell the governor, give us this money. The governor decides whether or not they're going to give us the money. The county can give us money, but it's up to them to decide whether or not to give us the money. The federal government can give us money, but chances are we're not going to get any money from the federal government. So the big picture is this. $70 million this year. We already know that the out years are going to be more critical. Our deficit is going to grow. We're going to rely on the taxpayers, the ratepayers, to pay the bill. We should all along have been replenishing our reserve fund. Any savings that we have should go towards the reserve fund so we can reduce the tax burdens that we know the taxpayers are going to have to pay. We should be doing it now because we know next year we won't have another parking ramp. We won't have something else to sell, another building to sell. We should have started now. This administration is only following what the previous administration has done. Let's not fill the positions. Let's roll it over into the next year, and we'll balance it that way. They can say, hey, vacancy control, and these are the jobs. But basically what it is, we're in the same spot. We have the same structural deficit. Our spending exceeds our revenues. If in your personal life, you wouldn't be able to do it. You'd go bankrupt. The government would come and take over your house, or your cars would get repossessed. But here in government, we just borrow and borrow, and we put it on the backs of the taxpayers. And so today, this will probably be the first budget in 16 years that I vote against, only because of the size and knowing what the out years look like. Take a look at the big picture. I mean, we're looking at the small picture here today. We're looking at only this year's budget. But if you look at the big picture, which is the out years, and knowing contracts need to be, inflation needs, the pension costs, all the costs continues to grow, And it's not sustainable. We can't sustain it. We have to be responsible. I want to thank the leaders that went downstairs to negotiate. It's not an easy thing to go run up and down the stairs, take the elevator, and meet with an administration that's not willing to make the changes that we know they need to make. They could have consolidated positions and saved money. They could have consolidated positions and responsibilities and say, hey, we know it's tough, but we have to make tough decisions. The county at one time went through this, and they reduced their spending by eliminating positions, not just vacant position, real live body positions. What they want to do is make you feel good, you know, and make a sense that we're not going to fill these positions. Well, that's what the previous administration was doing, never filling positions. And then they roll over to try to plug the deficit that they had. That was the strategy. It's no different, only it's written different on a piece of paper here. But it's the same strategy. And so it's time for this council to push back against this administration and say, hey, we can't continue down this path. It's not sustainable. We can't just put it on the backs of the taxpayers and cut services. I think we have to look at everything. Everything has to be on the table, including consolidation of positions. Absent us receiving new revenues, we're going to find ourselves in a deep hole, not at the end of the year, but towards the middle of next year, because money is not going to be coming in. What are we going to do then? So I'll be voting against this when it goes to a vote. I just want to thank the leaders that have gone downstairs. I know what that's like when I was in leadership, going downstairs and talking to a mayor that was unwilling. And we knew we didn't have the 6 votes or the 5 votes we needed. But we knew the reality of things. But this time around, I feel compelled to vote against this budget the way it stands. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Nowakowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a quick question for the clerk. Madam Clerk, was the gap plan from the mayor's office filed with this council?
So at this time, the gap plan was given during our Wednesday open session, during workshops, which would have been Wednesday, May 21st. From there, at this point, in regards to any budget things, the only file items we have before us is the actual budget and financial plan that has been filed. However, there has been supporting documentation. In all fairness, the mayor office did just ask to file those supporting documents at 2:00, which were on the floor. So I do have that, and they have asked for it to be filed.
Okay, thank you very much, because there's no way that I could, that was my one thing, was to have a gap plan if we are going to dispose of the budget, which we're following our charter, and it states that the council has the power to do amendments and revisions, and to have that amendment of a gap plan is super important, because the one thing that I want folks to know and to pay attention to is that, because we oftentimes rally around one date and then we walk away because we think that a problem is solved. The fact is this budget is going to be extremely fluid for the next fiscal year. We're talking cash on hand. We're talking multiple initiatives, from selling off of ramps, from the hotel bed tax, to then a reduction in overtime, which I believe can be accomplished ultimately through the bargaining agreement, since it's contractual. But when all of this is done, we have to have a plan, and we have to be able to revert back to it. So the document that I saw from the mayor's office was that if these revenues do not come in, there will need to be a time where the administration has to take out a $30 million deficiency note, $30 million of borrowing in a note to make sure that we're whole. But ultimately, it's my position that we can't borrow and we can't keep plugging holes if we do not cut. I'm going to take the unpopular stance that didn't have the votes here was to move recycling every other week if we could save $1.7 million. I wanted to reduce a bulk trash because we already can do 2 pieces at the curb. We give a ton to free homeowners. We have electronic drop-offs. I am willing to make the hard decisions. If your job is a special assistant or you're a deputy chief of something, I haven't met you, I haven't talked to you, you're probably going to be the first one that this council should take. to remove. I understand that people don't want to cut live bodies because people that work for City Hall live in the city of Buffalo and they're residents, and it ultimately would really hurt city services if we cut bodies. I understand all of that. But in order for us to move forward here today, that gap plan, those cuts, and the constant monitoring of revenues that are inside and outside of the, our city coffers is going to be something that we will have to look at every other week Tuesday with the documents that are before us. So just because, you know, this document has numbers on a piece of paper, we know how many times do we go through a budget where it says budgeted $1 million, actual 3.2. It's like it contradicts itself at times. And that's why the real work is staying, opening up our budget book every other Tuesday and saying, wait a minute, you said this number, what are we doing to clarify that? Or what are we doing to get back down in the budget? So I understand that I'm on my soapbox, but governing is a job that's 365 days a year, not just one disposal of a budget. But ultimately, that gap plan that I saw, not only did it have a $30 million deficiency note in it, it had a reduction of 5%. We should start thinking what that 5% is when it comes out of DPW, when it comes out of police, fire, the mayor's administration, and start thinking and lining up what positions are those, or ultimately what services, because there's no way that we can keep going down in the city of Buffalo where it's this. I worked here also before as a staffer. It was who wants to wield the knife? The administration, we don't want to cut. Council, we don't want to be the bad guys to cut. And it's this back and forth. The fact is we're going to have to get comfortable because turbulent times will come even more. I don't believe that this revenue necessarily is from a parking ramp, which I am not inclined to vote on disposing of all five of them. I've stated my position. I believe that selling all five is not a wise planning decision. It's this decision we have before us to fill a gap, and then 10 years we're going to say, why did we do that? We didn't have any foresight or fortitude. But that ultimately will come to a vote, too, on the council, the disposal of those ramps. So as I conclude, Mr. Chair, I just want everyone to know that this is going to have to continue throughout the duration of our fiscal year of monitoring revenues and expenses out. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councilmember. Majority Leader Halton-Pope.
Yes, thank you so much, Mr. President. My colleagues, as we all know, we all received these items that we requested Sunday, I believe it was, all of the 17 items. And so in order to make sure that they have an opportunity to be filed per the administration's request and pursuant to rule number 18, especially because we received a new amendment, I'm going to ask that we go into a recess to review the documents and allow the clerk to officially file those supporting documents and allow us to deliberate for no more than 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think we have to say a specific time, so it's 2:40 now. We'll return from recess at 2:55.
Thank you.
Seconded by Councilmember Rivera.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. President, thank you so much. I move that we reconvene.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Thank you. Mr. President, we have several amendments in front of us now, and I want to thank my colleagues, the press, and everybody in the audience for taking some time to wait with us while we got all of these items. And so I'd like to recommend that we take the amendments in order for this particular item, if we can.
And I just ask that Councilmember Wyatt, so we have two separate documents in front of us at this point. Is it your wish to withdraw the first item?
The first item doesn't include the total amount that's going to be going to the general city services, so we can receive and file the first one, sir.
Motion to withdraw.
Withdraw.
Motion to withdraw the amendment from Mr. Wyatt.
Seconded by Councilmember Wyatt.
Mr. President, we also received two additional items. I guess we can go back to his initial item. I'll call it item number one for Mr. Wyatt, regarding police overtime.
And that item was a late file, which would require a second. not seeing any seconds.
Can I speak to the item, Mr. Chair? Am I allowed to speak?
Sure. It's I'll allow you to speak on the item.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I put this item forth because, again, you all know that I've been an advocate of addressing the police overtime, and I believe we requested where the overtime came from, what was contractual and what was the other amounts, and we never received that, and we probably won't receive that. And so, again, I understand my colleagues are maybe looking at it from a perspective that we don't know what the contractual overtime is. But I believe that you could understand that a reasonable person would need a contractual overtime. Certainly would be this excessive. If it is this excessive, then a lot of people should be losing their jobs, because I just can't believe that we would agree to something that would allow for this type of overtime, including the number of police and fire that we've hired over the last years at the request of the union and the police department, that these additional bodies would save us overtime, but it's not shown that at all. And so I put this forward, that this $10 million savings would keep us from doing the other things that I believe are counterproductive in looking at doing every other week, recycling, as well as some of the other antics that we're putting forth. I don't know that they're going to make a difference, but if we continue to move in this direction and not make the tough decisions out of fear, we're not doing any service to the residents of the city of Buffalo. I think that someone should be presenting to us what is the contractual overtime. If I've been talking about the overtime, and I believe the councilwoman requested this and we have not received it, or we did receive it. Can you forward that to me? Do we have anything? Can we speak on it?
Mr. President, if I may, just as a point of clarification, the items that are sitting in front of us right now that were just filed by the administration, I personally emailed every single council member on Sunday once we received it. And inside of this item labeled overtime expenditures, and we did ask Commissioner Nosworthy to sit in to explain, it speaks specifically to the overtime category regarding required staffing, which totaled about $3 million, or 25% of the total overtime amount. And then the other items, and I'm not gonna lie, this is dark on this one. Discretionary staffing details, specialty units, internal affairs division, and academy training and recruitment. These are all overtime items that are listed in this document. When we get to the other amendment, I'm happy to speak about it, but I think it might be helpful for Mr. Wyatt as well, because it was an ask, and it wasn't just from Mr. Wyatt, actually, or Councilmember Everhart. It came from all of us, to be honest. It would have been helpful to receive it prior to Sunday. But I do think if we can allow him to at least explain it, because it is there.
Right, Councilmember Wyatt.
You want to let him explain it first, and then I can respond, Mr. Chair?
Sure. We do have Commissioner Nosworthy here, and I'll give him a moment to explain.
Raymond Nosworthy, Commissioner of Administration and Finance. For police, there is that category for required staffing, right? So it doesn't say contractual, but that is the contractual amount that we have to meet based off of the PBA contract, right? So that is that would be the contractual overtime amount, that $3 million. For fire, there was another document that was submitted, and that was the category for that was manpower shortage, and it's basically the same thing where they would have to be call-ins to be compliant with the minimum staffing requirements of that contract, and that amount was about $8.7 million for fires overtime.
Councilmember Wyatt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the information. $3 million for police, and we're looking at $10,000,375, and we've added all these different additional bodies. How was this amount, these dollars brought up? Was that something from the police department?
That is correct.
From the police department? Has this ever been audited?
Those particular numbers, because those are year-to-date numbers, those would not be formally audited, no.
Has it been audited in the past?
I can't speak to the last time that was, but those are payroll figures that get posted to payroll, and those could be tied to those activities, yeah.
Mr. Chair, I know we're not in, we're going through the amendments, but I certainly would like, since we have this document before us, I don't think we've had this document before, I would love to have this audited, because I think, again, going forward, we must know what the contractual overtime is so that we can make better decisions. I knew that the, even though the amount that they're asking, $10 million, the contractual certainly shouldn't have been $10 million, especially when we've added bodies. I know that the investigation of Casework, I have a whole lot of questions on top of this, but I would love to have an independent person look at this, because I think, again, this is a big number. We're talking about $10 million in overtime when we've added police, we've added firefighters. And for us to sit here and think that that's okay, that we should continue to operate that way, when we've been told crime is down, fires are down, how do we continue to go this direction? And again, God forbid that anything drastic happens, that there's an uptick in crime. There isn't right now. But if we do see an uptick in crime, how do we manage that? How do we balance that? Do we have to get bonds and things for the overtime? I mean, we bond for some of the misconduct. I mean, we had a $43 million bond that we had to bond for that because of something an officer did. So again, thank you for the information. I continue to keep this on the board. If someone doesn't second it, it's okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Wyatt. And I think the entire council took it very seriously, especially when you came to leadership asking for significant cuts to overtime. In our additional work session, I made it a point to ask Commissioner Wright, you know, how that would impact his department. And his response was it was critical, but I certainly don't plan to stop. You know, we'll still be working in the finance committee and we'll, you know, get answers to the questions to the best of our ability. I have concerns with cutting overtime past the point, but this council did work to assure we get some cuts to overtime, specifically with some of the special event services, and those are some real savings that we can potentially apply to our reserve fund. So certainly point taken, and we did work to advocate to your point.
And Mr. Chair, you know we've done that before, and it resulted in nothing. And so again, I applaud the effort, but I think we have to have a more stringent effort, as I stated to you and the majority leader, that this overtime should be held up until we approve it. Because again, to continue to let someone just decide on overtime at their leisure is not in the best interest of the residents of the city of Buffalo. And we've seen that to the tune of $127 million over 5 years. And that doesn't even include now. $127 million. That $25 million of that would have taken care of our user fee that we owe, the debt on the user fee, and would have replenished our reserve fund. And so again, I guess I can't plead any more to you that we're making a bad decision again. But again, I'm only one council member, and the majority rules, and that's how our world works. And I yield to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, council member. Majority Leader Halton Pope.
Thank you. I just had a question for clarification for future time of my colleague, if you don't mind asking. Just a quick question regarding, and I agree, obviously overtime needs to be dealt with. We've been talking about this in our private sessions. We've been talking about it publicly. And so I don't disagree with you on figuring out how we did it. My question is regarding approval, how would that process work if officers were needed and it was outside of the special events time, because I think that that's easier to approve. I just want to understand your thought process.
Well, I don't think it's any different than when we talk about approving or supporting individual tax breaks as well. I mean, we have to work through it, but certainly for us to go down the same path we've gone is not the right path to go. And I think we have time and we have people who have a good mind to make sure that we don't interfere with the emergency efforts of police and fire. No one's trying to do that. Mm-hmm. But certainly for us just to allow overtime just to be given to people just because it has not worked for us. And again, that's the thing that's sinking the city, that overtime continues to be a plague on our city. And so, you know, I don't think the resolution of how we approve it is the issue. We definitely have to come up with a process. But certainly for us to continue to approve something blindly without knowing factually how it's benefiting the taxpayer when we're asking them to be on the hook for another 8% increase, and then we're talking about increases next year with user fee and other things. We just can't continue to work in a silo and allow others to dictate to us when, in many cases, some of these folks are benefiting from what is happening right now, and it's not a benefit to the taxpayer, but it's a benefit to individuals that are making 5-6 times more than what the average person in the city of Buffalo is earning. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
I would definitely appreciate, and I thank my colleague for the recommendation. I would really appreciate an opportunity to understand how that can work, and if there is a way that we as a council, and I'm not going to lie, just signing off on your staff stuff is enough, but I don't mind having a conversation, a robust conversation on what that would look like and what that process would be going forward, especially given the fact that, and I don't disagree, and I've said this, I said it in the workshop publicly last week, that when we added, you said we need to add officers, it'll reduce overtime. That's not actually been reflected in the numbers. You say if you add new firefighters, it'll reduce overtime. That's not reflected in the numbers. And so I think that those are fair questions. My concern would be, what is the mechanism to approve, or what space, even chartered, are we allowed to determine whether or not, and that would be a question for law, if we have any say over how overtime is administered in police and or fire or any of the other departments as well. And so that would be something to definitely consider and ask law to opine. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rivera.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think it's up to the Common Council to manage the overtime in the Buffalo Police Department or in the Fire Department. They have administrators, command staff to do that. My concern is how they manage the overtime. That we can speak to, and we can ask them, how are you managing the overtime? What are the processes in place to make sure the overtime is warranted? When can you say yes or no to overtime? I think that's one area we can work with both the police and fire. The other area is through contract negotiations in terms of what we're able to get back from the unions and what we have to give back to the unions for minimal manpower staffing, so we don't have to create that kind of overtime that we have. But I don't want to get into micromanaging a police department. That doesn't fall under our purview. Now, I understand our concerns for the overtime because it is what's driving our huge spending gap. But the other thing that's driving our spending cap as part of your amendment is staffing in other areas, exempt positions in city government. That, if it was separate from your resolution, I would have supported it. I think what's driving our deficit is salaries, pensions, legacy costs, health care costs. Our city is almost half the size it was in the early part of the century. It was 500,000. We're down to 280,000 people in the city of Buffalo, but yet, you know, our workforce is pretty big. And where do you right-size it? I don't know what the right numbers are, but we should be looking to right-size our workforce because that's what's driving our budget, our spending, is the number of employees that we have in the city of Buffalo. And I'm not alarming people saying that we're going to cut the essential, the police and fire and public works, but there are positions in city government that perhaps can be consolidated. We've talked about that in caucus, yet it's not reflective in any of our budget amendments. We talked about, you know, at one point we had two deputy mayors and a chief of staff. But at one point, one of the deputy mayor was doing the chief of staff's work. Why do we need those two positions? Why couldn't we eliminate one of those positions? And there's $150,000 plus legacy costs. And that's just one. If you look throughout city government, I'm sure you're going to find more cases like that where we can consolidate positions and responsibilities and duties and cut our workforce only because we need to do it. We have to do it. We just don't have the resources to pay this out. And I think that's where we should have been looking for some cuts. And that's one of the primary reasons I'm voting against the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Golombek.
Thank you, Mr. Acting President. A couple of things. You know, we changed the budget this year instead of the 21 days in May that we normally would have. We had 49 days in spring. I don't think it worked very well. I'm actually going to have a resolution going, calling for us to go back to May 1st through May 21st, and hopefully we'll talk about that. But I think one of the mistakes that some of my colleagues on the council make is that the budget isn't just those 3 weeks in May or those 49 days in spring. The budget process takes place throughout the entire year. There's a joke that goes around City Hall and some political people that says, oh, there was another 7-0 or an 8-0 vote on the council. Those votes, and I can think of several of them offhand, were when I was voting against filling positions that were vacant. And I didn't do that to be mean or tough or ridiculous or anything like that. But I did that because I was here in 2003, I think it was, when the control board and when the last fiscal meltdown occurred. And I was here when we had to lay off between 50 and 100 people in the city of Buffalo. I was here, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, I was here when I was getting on the elevator and the lady looked at me, started crying, and said, "You just laid me off." I felt horrible. I felt awful. I don't want to lay off live bodies. You know, absolutely, I don't want to lay off live bodies. I would give more credence to criticism that people have if, when we were filling positions that we control on this council, if we would have looked at them and said, you know what, we're facing a 10, a 20, a 30, a 40, 50, 60, whatever that number constantly is, million-dollar deficit, that I think we should wait. I think we should wait to fill those positions. They were not live bodies. We did that 20 years ago on this council. We cut the size of staff because we knew that there was a fiscal crisis and we knew that we had to lead by example. And we did some other things too at that time. You know, take a look at what the council did in 03, 04 to try to reduce the budget deficit. We hurt ourselves. We cut ourselves before we went to employees in the city of Buffalo. I think that we should be looking at this budget throughout the course of the year, and every time there's a position that comes in front of us that needs to be filled, instead of just rubber stamping it and saying, oh, okay, let's take a look at it. Instead of, you know, grandstanding now in May and saying that, oh, the other departments need to be cut. All the departments potentially could be cut. And we need to be consistent, and we need to take a look at every single department. And instead of just pointing fingers at the administration, looking at ourselves and taking a look at positions, and I said it before, if they don't raise revenue, that I was not going to be voting for them because I don't think it's a luxury that we can afford at this time. As a matter of fact, I was told that, you know, oh, you know, Golombek doesn't have a position in central staff. The next one is going to be his. And I said, I'm not filling it. You know, I have people that live in my district that would love to have a job, but at this point, we can't afford it, and I'm not filling a position with a person, you know, whether we perceive that we need it or not, I'm not filling it. And that's where we need to begin. And I would have more respect for this honorable body if we would have started with ourselves instead of throwing stones during a mayoral election year. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. So we also have two other items, amendment items that we'd like to have included with the budget. Item number one is amendments to the 25-26 recommended budget. As I said before, Commissioner Nosworthy is here. This is before my colleagues. Before we start, this is a reflection of conversations that we've had with one another, conversations we've had individually with the administration. Prior to us receiving the budget on April the 8th, we had a meeting with the current administration expressing our concerns. And so we saw a lot of this reflected in the proposed budget that we received on April the 8th. What we did not have at the time, which now the media should have a copy of that because we just received it, was what that $26.5 million in cuts actually reflected. via vacancies. In addition to that, the $10 million per department. So that's included in this packet. The other thing that we, listening to our colleagues, and you'll see this reflected in this amendment, is the police and fire overtime specifically. Fire had about $1.7 million alone in just special events overtime. The police, as we just talked about, had about $268,000 in special events, and this is those large scale events. So what we sent out to the public was based on what our desires to see, and what we sent to the administration to see reductions in those areas, which would equal, it equals about $1 million, and that this amendment reflects that it goes into a general fund. So the police overtime, reducing that by, listen, if something were to happen, well, something did happen. My father passed away 19 years ago today, to be exact. And at the day of his funeral, we have to pay for a police escort. Every constituent has to pay if they need these services. I don't see why a larger venue, a for-profit organization that is making money on the backs of the citizens in the city of Buffalo, should not be held responsible and have to pay for these items. And so this $200,000 reflected is a result of some of those larger events. Is there an opportunity for more savings? 100%. I also think we need to focus on intergovernmental collaboration between departments. There is a way, or interdepartmental collaboration. There's no reason that we cannot use some of our other resources to reduce overtime. The largest three groups that we have, and for the record, we received overtime numbers on DPW, fire, and police, all of those items, kind of tell us where our resources are going and for what purposes. So where we could, we cut. And that's where we find $1 million in savings for that, and we ask for that to go into a fund. And if Mr. Nosworthy would like to speak on it, I'm happy to hear about it. But it's labeled now as that last item where it says general city change charges freeze. This is money that will not be touched. It cannot be touched, and we'd like to see it dropped into the reserve so we can start rebuilding. This is not a fix for everything that we have going on, but with a very lean budget, with definitely having some more settlements coming through at some point. I think my colleagues and I, we've worked pretty tirelessly in requesting certain information. The other item that we have before us is the gap closing measures. We wanted to know what the gap plan is, and in it, it is pretty stark. As my colleague mentioned earlier, the $30 million short-term deficit note is concerning. We would have to take that out if these revenues do not come in. People will end up losing jobs, at least 5% per department. Personally, I think you need to focus on revenue, not focus on revenue generating, because they're the only ones bringing in money, but that means something. And to my other colleague's point, the council did something different, as we said we would in the last year's budget, and we did cut positions in council staff. There are some openings that are still there. I don't disagree that we probably should not fill those, with the exception of one, because I should not be fielding all of the media positions, and you need to get competitive. But other than that, I do think we should pull back. But I was proud of us for initiating removing that position well in advance of ever having a budget at all. Actually, well in advance of the administration changing hands, we did that. So by September of last year, we already were down one position in council staff, because we want to make sure that we're being responsible. And as people left, my desire would have been to not fill those positions. Again, I'm one of eight, which is a different situation. But I think if we're being responsible, this is what we can do. We only get 15% of this budget that we can impact one way or the other, that we can cut from. And so these two amendments reflect that, and I'd like to open it up for any comments on some of these items. And Ms. Commissioner Nosworthy is here to fill in any blanks.
Councilmember Rivera.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I support adding any savings or cuts, savings from cuts to the reserve fund. And I think we should replenish the reserve fund. So come a time like this, where we're looking at increasing taxes and fees, that we have a reserve fund that we can go to. We had, I think, $13 million in our reserve fund. And I want to thank the members of the Common Council that worked, including yourself and Mr. Nowakowski and Mr. Rashid Wyatt, who worked diligently. Although we were opposed by the administration initially, everybody else thought we should have a reserve fund, and I think we should replenish that reserve fund. So any savings from cuts and even new revenues should go towards the reserve fund. So when we have times like this, we don't have to put it all on the burdens of the taxpayers and the ratepayers, that we have somewhere we can go to. Right now, we're using whatever we have left. It's hard to believe that years ago we had $100 million in our reserve fund. Syracuse, a smaller city than ours, has over $100 million in reserve fund. And here we are. We have absolutely nothing. So I'd like to see further cuts, obviously. Any cuts, any new revenues, go to the reserve fund for times like this. Thank you very much.
Colleagues, any further comment?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, before we vote on the final item, I'd just like to also remind my colleagues that we had a MOU that we signed, had signed by the administration, asking for support for a property tax circuit breaker for low-income residents. We realize that this is nothing that we will not be able to necessarily affect the current tax levy, since it requires enabling legislation from New York State Legislature, because we just don't have enough time to complete that. It is something that we wanted to make sure that they would be willing to work with us, our state partners, et cetera, going forward in the outgoing years, especially by next year, to ensure longevity in protecting our most vulnerable. That would be low income and legacy homeowners who will at some point feel the burden even now on this. In addition to that, we need to make it easier for our constituents to be able to pay on their taxes as opposed to a lump sum. So asking the administration as well to figure out how we can make it a process that'll work easier. We've asked for reimbursement, as we've talked about, cutting overtime expenses and having reimbursement for large scale events related to public safety costs. This is reflected in these in the numbers in amendment number one. And then also wanted to support and make sure we got on the record support for grant and aid, specifically the frontline arts. They were cut in amendment six in December. And we were told then that it would be made whole. As of today, they had not been. And so we wanted to get something on record that they would absolutely do that, continue to support frontline arts, find a citywide engagement strategy and public celebrations that affirm the community identity and belonging across the city of Buffalo. We think this is important to make sure that we do continue our work. And finally, and most importantly, in addition to all of the other documents that we had, we asked for a understanding of, one, the occupancy tax, getting supporting documents from every single organization. They said they had hotels who were supportive, the hospitality community was supportive, so we asked for that, which is reflected in the documents. We also asked for backup and regarding the parking authority. The councils also requested a position to be held by the council president to appoint to serve on that authority. This is unusual. It's not something that happens currently, but in my short tenure here, I know my colleagues and I have asked several questions about water and sewer, and if we were on the authority, perhaps there would be an opportunity to weigh in before it comes, before things come before us as a vote. And as one of my colleagues stated earlier, there's not a huge desire to divest of all of these parking garages at once. This allows us to have a voice at the table before it even comes to the council. And so I wanted to make sure that the public is aware this is what we've asked for. We have a signed MOU from the administration saying that. And if there are no other questions, the motion is to approve as amended.
Motion is to approve as amended. Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski. Any members wishing to be in the negative may be recorded.
We should do a roll call vote.
Motion moves to roll call.
Can you restate, what are we voting on?
Yes, so the amendments that had just been read out, so this is the vote on the 2025-26 budget as amended. It is this document you have in front of you.
So we're not voting on the budget
as
right
well
now,
as
only the amendments to the budget.
I think we have to vote on them separate.
We have to vote on the amendments and the budget, correct?
The budget would be voted on as amended. So yeah. It would include, it's the budget along with these. Councilmember Fairley.
I just want to add one thing since my colleague was talking about funding for frontline art organizations. I just want to advocate that there's a clear process for the frontline art organizations in applying for the funding that is currently in the budget so that everyone knows what the process is.
Right.
There's a transparent process and that we come up with that in collaboration with the administration. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Mr. President, just to be clear on these two items and a point of clarification from our clerk, just to be clear, do we need to second these amendments because they were submitted on the floor as well?
Yes, so before us, the roll call vote that will be taken is regarding the mayor's recommended operating budget for 2025-2026 with the amendments to 2025-2026 recommended budget that lists the first line starting with the director of open data. The second amendment to that would be the City of Buffalo potential gap closing measures, and the third would be the MOU regarding the initiatives and policies establishing a property tax circuit breaker, as well as the curb and excessive overtime requiring reimbursement for large scale events, and four grants in A, and five council representation on the Buffalo Parking Authority.
Any questions?
So we're voting on the budget first?
It's all inclusive as amended.
Okay. Are we doing a roll call?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
President Pro Tem Bowman?
Approve.
Councilwoman Everhart?
Before I make my vote, thank you. First, I just want to say publicly to the residents of the Madison District and the City of Buffalo, I apologize on behalf of the council, on behalf of this administration, because we have failed you. We have failed the City of Buffalo continuously. You know, I've only been here, obviously, this is my second budget. Last year was a nightmare. This year, it went down a little easier, but it's still nonsense. You know, I spent many nights in my bed with my snacks and my bonnet on, reading through the City of Buffalo's budget. And it's disturbing, right? Because when we're talking about a budget, and as council members, we're supposed to say, we want this for our individual districts. But we can't do that. I can't ask for anything out of this budget for my district. And so that means that I failed you. We all failed our districts. And that's disgusting to say, but I'm willing to say it out loud. I'm willing to own it. But we have to do better. And that's what we're here for today. I sat through every single meeting with my colleagues, with leadership. I met directly with the mayor myself about cuts that I had recommended. And some of those cuts, we're getting those cuts. And I feel a win there. And I want to thank the administration for signing this MOU, for sitting down and listening to us individually, collectively. And I want the residents of the City of Buffalo to know that what is happening in this budget is not just happening to you, right? Because I've been very loud about that. It's happening to me too. I'm a new homeowner, right? I'm a mother. But yes, it's hurting other people more than it's hurting me. And that means that I have to do better as a council person. And my job over the year, like my colleague, Councilmember Golombek said, this is an everyday process. It's not just the last month and a half that we've been going through this. This is every day. And so I am guaranteeing the residents of the City of Buffalo that I
will continue to do this every single day with this council and with this administration. This is not the end of it. We will do better. We will figure out a way to make this city better for you. Again, I am sorry and I apologize on behalf of this council, but we will do better. I vote yes.
Councilmember Farrelletto?
Yes.
Councilmember Galambek?
Yes.
Majority Leader Houghton Pope?
Thank you. Since my colleague took some personal privilege, I'll take a second as well. This was not an easy process. We did give ourselves more time. I met with my constituents. I had the controller's office meet with my constituents. We discussed issues. There wasn't a finance committee when we didn't ask pointed questions. There wasn't a civil service committee where the salaries were not reviewed. And so for that, I want to thank my colleagues for fighting vehemently. This is a rough one. There's no question about it. I am grateful to see the $26.5 million cut that happened before we got the budget. I think that's important. However, there's definitely more that can be done, and my colleagues have highlighted some of the questioning that I did give about duplicative services within departments. That is something that should be done. I do feel very strongly, I've said it privately, I'll say it publicly, and I said it publicly as well, that when you're at the top, you should be more comfortable cutting yourself back to ensure that those who support you can continue working in some way, shape, or form. This doesn't reflect that at all in those individual departments. Again, I'm one of eight, though. So I will continuously fight with my colleagues and for the constituents that I represent in the Ellicott District, and frankly, for the entire city of Buffalo, for those who are marginalized, for those groups who have been forgotten. And I believe the MOU also reflects that fight in a different kind of a way. Where we wouldn't see everything that we want to see now, you better believe I'm going to hold them very much accountable to what you signed. And that's what's important to me. You said that you would take care and work with us to figure out how we protect our vulnerable by agreeing to support the tax circuit breaker and figuring out what that means to protect our community. So I'm going to hold you to that. You said you're going to make sure that Frontline Arts are officially taken care of, that $200,000 from ARP money that we took away from Eugenia and all the organizations that were going to get funding from that. I'm glad you signed it because I can hold you to that. You agreed that you would reduce overtime. That's in writing now. And so now I've got to hold you to that because your signature is on the bottom of that page. To have an MOU, much like the county does with the sheriff's office, and much like other venues, other municipalities have with the same exact leadership in these in other cities, I'm going to hold you to that because that's what the city of Buffalo deserves. They deserve the best. They deserve for us to fight vehemently. Last year, I said we have to tighten up a little bit. This budget is nasty, and I'm concerned about settlements that are going to come out. We just moved some claims items. We've got a lot to still answer to, and I don't know where the money is going to come from. I know we still want streets to be paved. I know we still are going to have to consider neighborhood initiatives. I'm not blind to my colleague's warnings who's been here about the ability, the possibility of us going into a control period. I am very concerned that this gap plan is going to be enacted. And the impact on the citizens of the city of Buffalo concerns me deeply. But now we have that on the record as well. This is your plan. So it also is incumbent on us. I don't necessarily want to have to give up neighborhood initiative funding, but if it comes down to it, I will. I really will, and I think that that's what it comes, like, sometimes we don't want to, we'll say, well, we're the only ones with skin in the game. That's just what leadership is about. It has to hurt us first, and I'm even open with reducing some of the positions in council staff anyway, if it allows us to serve people in a more efficient way. I think government, which is supposed to be serving people, we make it harder. We make it harder for people to get access to information. We make it harder for them to understand why it works. We fight each other over nickels and dimes, and sometimes we just don't make it simple for those that we represent. But I do think today we at least have a start. And as my colleague said, I'm not going to let off the gas. At the same way I've been asking questions privately and publicly, because if you know me, you know, I'm not going to push, I'm not going to stop, and I won't be silent. This is part of our job. No, I didn't help us get here, but I'm darn sure going to try to help us get out of it. And I want to be a part of the solution rather than just complaining about the past. Thank you. I vote to approve.
Councilmember Nowakowski?
Yes, to approve the budget as amended by the Common Council.
Councilmember Rivera?
I am going to be voting in the negative for the very reason that my colleague from the Masson District mentioned. We could do better, and I don't think we've done good enough on this budget. I think there could have been more cuts to spending. I think we could have been more creative. I think we could have right-sized government. I think we could have added more money to the reserve fund for situations like this in the future that we know are headwinds that are coming against us, and we didn't do it. So as our colleague mentioned, I'm sorry for the votes that I've taken in the past that had gone through many of the reserve fund dollars that we had when we should have been increasing taxes incrementally back then under the former administration, but we never had the votes. It wasn't that we didn't request it. It wasn't that we tried to push it. It was that the mayor always had his hands and his fingers on the Common Council, and we didn't have the votes to push a little harder. So that is my regret. I'll be in the negative. I want to thank my colleagues for working on this budget. I know it's not easy. I wish we had partners that were willing to do more to deal with right-sizing our government here in the city of Buffalo, and that we don't only look to the ratepayers and taxpayers as the only way to cover our deficits. But that's what we're doing. We're just put it on the burdens on the shoulders of the taxpayers and the ratepayers. Let them take care of it. We'll continue to spend and spend and spend and put it on them. If we want this city to grow, if we want people to move to this city and do business in this city, we have to change that type of mentality. We should be more welcoming to businesses and residents that want to do business here. We should be more creative. I think we're lacking in that area, and for that reason, I'll be voting against it. Thank you.
Councilmember Wyatt.
Thank you. Well, I'm sitting in the same spot I sat in last year, and I'm not going to say I'm sorry, because I didn't support it last year, and I'm not going to support it again this year. And as I said, we should have deep cuts, and we didn't. We wasted $331 million with American Rescue, and now I'm going to believe that this administration is going to be able to assist people in tax cuts and giving them additional savings for their taxes. I don't believe it. The same old thing is going to continue to happen, and it's unfortunate because it still continues to fall on the backs of people who are already struggling, already suffering. And I do agree we have failed the people. You know, I was reading and I told Councilmember Rivera, I saw what Syracuse is dealing with, but Syracuse has a reserve. They have 100 and some million in Syracuse. Why isn't the second largest city in the state have any type of reserves? And that's shameful. That's shameful. And it's shameful that we had to fight so hard to get the little reserves that we had. I remember them saying we shouldn't do that. I remember the former mayor telling me that we shouldn't have reserves because the unions will come to get more money. And I scratched my head like, did you just say that to me? Is that really the fact? So I'm disappointed because, again, the people in my district, seniors, and those who have been marginalized are already struggling. Their taxes are going to go up, their rent, and they're already struggling with this, the Congress talking about adjusting their Medicaid. We're going to be losing a project on Bailey Avenue that would have been helpful to get people from here A to B. That's not important. anything that relates to DEI is not important, again. And again, that's not boding well for those who are already been marginalized. But I will continue to fight, and I'm going to do a better job of asking the questions. I think many times we pass things on this council, and we don't ask about the bottom line. Well, I'm going to make sure that going forward, I do that. So that I do, I must say, I must do better. I can't complain about nobody else. That's my aptitude. And so I'm going to make sure that going forward, every dollar is scrutinized, because that's what time it is. You know, when I talked about the overtime, no, I'm not saying about micromanaging police and fire, no, but there should be a process to how overtime is approved on behalf of the residents of the city of Buffalo. You know, desperate times call for desperate measures, and I believe we're at a desperate time, and we don't know where those next dollars are coming from. And we can continue to trick our way out and trick our way into something that we know ain't gonna happen, because I've been here on this council for several years, and the same things we've already tried have not come through. It was about cannabis at one point. Well, that hasn't come through. Then it was about the Seneca and their monies. That hasn't come through as of yet, as far as I know. But again, we have to do better as a council, and I hope that at some point we'll find the aptitude for us to stand together. Because it seems as though that we are always divided for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason is, but I know that at the end of the day, when I look in the face of a resident whose rent is going up and don't know how they're going to pay it, you know, it's a sad situation to be in. That, again, the third poorest of our size, and this is just not pontificating, this is things that I've said over and over again. So for anybody to think that this is grandstanding, well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm talking about the reality of what people are dealing with right now. And that is not a lie. So again, I'll be in a negative. I am the negative. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Item has passed, approved as amended with a 6-2 vote.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.